everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into Advertising Week's Great Minds, People and Culture podcast. I'm your host, Brenna Kinsey, Executive Vice President of Advertising Week and Emerald. On this episode, we're speaking with Evan Horowitz and Jeffrey Goldberg of Movers and Shakers. Movers and Shakers specializes in connecting brands to culture and driving unprecedented brand love among Gen Z and millennials. They've amassed over 250 billion views on their social campaigns, which include the most viral campaign ever on TikTok and the first ever TikTok native reality show. Hi, Jeffrey and Evan. I'm so excited that you're both here and thank you for your time.
Thanks for the invitation. We're thrilled to be here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So I love your agency name, Movers and Shakers. Before we get started on our conversation, can you share the inspiration behind that name and what it means to you to be a mover and shaker?
Yeah, it's a bold name. Actually, when we considered that name, it was a bit scary because we imagined ourselves going up to someone at an event and saying, "Hi, I'm from Movers and Shakers." But I think we've really grown into it and I love it and I own it because we are trying to move and shake the whole industry. We'll talk more about this, I hope, but we're trying to both innovate and disrupt in the ad industry with the work and really pushing what it means to create culturally relevant, socially native work for brands. And then also, and equally important for us, we want to move and shake in the industry in terms of what it means to create a workplace culture. And how can you create a culture that's positive, collaborative, constructive in the ad agency world? Because we think that's possible. We want to model that. So that's really what we're trying to do by moving and shaking.
Our team loves it too, as do our clients. Oftentimes they'll start talking about, "Oh, we're really moving today and shaking." Like they love really bringing it into the conversation. And, you know, because it's about agility. It's about making waves, making moves, doing something different.
I love that. And you both mentioned two of your core values. One is to create joy and to be agile. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from you both on how you create that in not just the work you do, but also within your company culture. And with that, what do you think building a culture of joy means? Like, it's obviously a unique focus. And what strategies or initiatives have you implemented to cultivate that within your work environment?
Yeah, so our mission is to spread joy. And Jeffrey and I, as founders, we want to create a company that is doing more than just making great work, but really making a meaningful social impact. And that starts with our team, and then that extends to our clients, and then the work that we put out there in the world. So our mission is to spread joy. Just to define what we mean by that for a second, because joy is a very broadly used term, and there's lots of great definitions for it. So when we say that we want to spread joy, I would explain joy as compared to happiness. So happiness for me is things are going the way you want. You know, your significant other is cooperating with you. Your client liked the work. And then compared to when you're unhappy because, you know, people aren't cooperating or the work didn't go well or things like that, right? Joy is more of a worldview. Joy is that glass half full perspective on the world that says, "Wow, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so lucky to be here with you. And so many things are possible," right? That's that positivity, that gratitude. And for us, that's what joy is all about. So it's not about showing up to work every day and pretending you're happy. That's not what we mean when we say that we're on a mission to spread joy. But what we want to spread is that positivity, glass half full, gratitude-oriented worldview.
How do you continue to create that or have that as a purpose when challenging situations come up, like the pandemic or anything else that's going on that's challenging, that's out of the norm, out of the regular course of business?
Yeah, I would say that this mission of joy, of spreading joy, of optimism, of approaching every day with a glass half full mentality, that starts from the hiring process and the interview process, and it goes all the way through the way we work with people in the day to day. I think one thing I hear a lot from people who start working at Movers and Shakers is oftentimes I'll talk with someone who's been here for a month and they'll say, "Wow, like I feel more connected with my colleagues here." And we're a remote company, right? A fully remote. They're like, "I feel more connected with my colleagues here at Movers and Shakers than I did at this last place I worked for 2 years. And I think it's because we have people who they're insanely collaborative. They want to show up with each other every day. There's very little ego. And these are things that we're looking for when we're hiring. You know, we want to bring people in who are excited to collaborate, who aren't about bringing their ego in the room. They leave that behind the door. And that creates that environment where you can take risks, where you can tell, you know, have the real conversation with someone, have a transparency kind of environment as well.
So much of it is who we don't hire too, right? Because I think people are always used to working with that really talented jerk. A lot of places have a lot of people like that, and we don't hire those people. And it's very intentional in our interview process. And sometimes people are surprised when we reject somebody who actually got a lot of yeses. But then when we do, people feel a little relieved because you could feel that edge from that person, right? And we train our team on how to look for that and make sure that we only bring in people who are going to bring that positive energy with them in the room.
I love that. I love the idea of looking for that in the hiring process, because I think those values are definitely, you either have it or you don't. And to your point, you could be incredibly talented and still have an ego and still not be the right fit for a culture that wants to create joy and has collaboration. You mentioned that you are in a fully remote environment, which is obviously amazing and has its own challenges. Are there any specific practices or rituals that your agency follows to encourage creativity and innovation while maintaining a joyful work environment while being remote?
Yeah, it's no small feat. You know, we really built our employee base and our team since COVID. And so we've really built our company culture in a remote environment too, which I think is an important thing to say, because oftentimes I talk with people who, when their company went remote, there was this sort of loss of company culture that existed in the office. And we really built everything for the environment we have. And so that meant, you know, finding ways to connect virtually on Zoom, using the tools that we have like Slack and creating spaces for people to connect and share creativity. So we've got things like on our Slack channel, we've got channels like called Tiny Wins, right? Where those little wins that you have throughout the day that you would usually share at the water cooler, well, there is no water cooler. So how can we create a space where people get to share the tiny wins that they have in their day-to-day, and they can be celebrated for that, right? We have a practice of praise, and there's another channel on Slack where people can share praise with other teammates, things that, you know, this person showed up so great in front of that client or things like that. And it's those little pieces that really build that sense of team that creates the foundational bricks for creativity and innovation. There's other things that we do. Like we celebrate every Friday, we share gratitude, we share face plants. That's actually one of my favorite things that we do, is we encourage people to share like a face plant from the week. And this is such a fun moment because we've all had those. Maybe you kept the client on the email you weren't supposed to include them on, and you know, and we all kind of laugh at them, and then we kind of move on, and it's cathartic, and it's a wonderful way for people to be like, oh yeah, we're all human here, and I think that is really just important for people to build a creative environment and build a space where they're okay taking risk and failing and innovating.
And because you're saying we, I want to assume that you and Evan participate in those facepalm moments and the Slack shoutouts. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the rare occasion where we make a mistake. No, I'm kidding. We're all, it happens throughout the entire, every level of the company, you know, it's important. I think that's part of what leadership I think is as well, is modeling, hey, it's okay to fail at something. And in fact, let's celebrate that. Let's share that. So there's many times where Evan or I or other VPs or folks on the exec team have shared our own flubs and mistakes with the full company.
I think the facepalms and the shutouts play into the culture of feedback, whether it's positive or admitting the failures and seeing the good in them. What steps has your organization taken to incorporate feedback and continuous improvement into your process, aligning with the principles of both agility and risk-taking and cultivating joy?
Well, we try to be very scientific in our work. So we really want to measure and analyze our work as much as we can. What were the KPIs and how did we do against those? And we look at those internally and we look at those with our clients. And what can we learn from those? And we also try to encourage real transparency on that. This is what worked. These were the face plans or these were the learnings, right? Because that's really important. And we want to all hold ourselves up to the standard of believing that we can do better. So at the same time as we always want to look at the positive, we also want to look for how we can grow. Honestly, that can be hard when you also have a group of people that's really focused on positivity and collaborative energy. And so I do think we struggle at what's the right balance there, you know, where our team, because we hire such genuinely caring and positive people, it can be really uncomfortable to give that negative feedback, right? Or to say, hey, I'm not really feeling that creative idea, you know, or whatever it is, right? And so that's something that we're constantly discussing and working on. And how can we help break down those barriers? How do we give language and scripts for that? How do we help nurture people to feel more empowered to have those tougher conversations?
Let's talk about agility a little bit, because I love that. Agility is very important to my company as well. But I want to understand, what does that mean for movers and shakers? And what role does risk-taking play in that?
Agility is essential. You know, our North Star as an agency is connecting brands into culture. So the question for movers and shakers is, how do we make this brand more culturally relevant, more buzzy, more cool, especially with that Gen Z or millennial audience? That's where we spend most of our time. In order to move at the speed of culture, you have to be agile. And so we've built our whole agency from the ground up with this idea of agility in mind. I think that's why we're able to do things that most brands and agencies just can't believe is possible, that we can see a trend, let's say on TikTok, and we can get content live within a couple hours, that we had the idea, we made it, we got it approved by the clients, and it got it online, right? That's a truly agile process. Our whole agency is actually oriented around our culture squad, which is a team of people that's always listening to culture. And they're listening to what's trending on social, on Reddit, on TikTok, what's trending in the news, celebrity news, music news, et cetera, right? And then how do each of those trends, which happen day to day, everybody's talking about this Kardashian today. Okay, how does that create an opportunity for participation from a client who's a beauty brand or from a client who's a travel brand? And then how do we agilely go and mobilize ourselves to activate on that? And that's what we do every day.
And does that agility carry on to your internal processes too, whether that is, you know, a process within approvals or in finance or in HR? How do you ensure that that also carries on to that process?
There's definitely an approach that we take with our, you know, the agile workflows that we build for our marketing efforts that I think also does apply to how we've built our company. And a big piece of that is get the feedback, put something out there, learn what works, and then get that feedback and then evolve. And that goes for whether you are trying to build a presence as a brand on social media, put content out there, see how the community responds, learn from that. That's going to make your decision so much better than if you spend weeks and weeks and weeks trying to guess what's going to work, right? And the same thing applies to growing an agency. We're big believers, Evan and I, on saying, okay, we have an idea for how something might work. Let's try. Let's try for 2 weeks. Let's get the feedback from the team. Oh, that one didn't work. Okay, let's pivot. Let's try something different. But we learned more in those 2 weeks than we probably would have spending 2 weeks trying to make guesses about what would be the best possible solution.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that approach. And has that always been your approach since you founded the agency?
I think yes. We've always taken an approach of let's try something, see if it sticks, see if it works, and let's learn from it. We've in the last few years, we've been on a really big growth curve as a company, hiring a lot, bringing on lots of new clients, and that requires a sense of agility. It requires a realization every single day that what you built a week ago, a month ago, may not serve what we need right now. And so I oftentimes say by the time you kind of build the playbook, it's outdated. And so focus more on trying some process, seeing if that works, putting it out there, even if it's not 100% perfect, and then you're going to evolve it, chances are.
Our industry in general is just so oriented towards consideration and thoughtful, slow moving that I think that made sense 10 years ago when most of companies' marketing budget was a multi-million dollar TV spot that they did once a year and they planned it for 12 months. And of course, then you want to test and test and test and focus group. But now most of the marketing budget is going towards social and influencer and these new frontiers where it's not about one big spot. It's about how do you show up today in a way that makes your brand feel culturally relevant. And it's also a very permissive space. So if you have some misses, it's fine. All right, well, no one saw that TikTok. Big deal. Keep going, right? And so we have to untrain our people sometimes when we hire them from other great agencies to think differently, to think with this agility mindset and say, let's move, let's test, let's go.
Can you highlight a project where your team's ability to quickly adapt contributed significantly to the overall success?
I would say we see that every day in our social content that we make for brands. So for many of our clients, we're handling all of their social media handles. And when our culture squad sees what is trending today, we'll go and we'll make something, right? So we'll go and we'll use this trending CapCut filter or this new Taylor Swift song or meme, right? And we'll go and we'll create a tweet about it. We'll create an Instagram post about it or TikTok or whatnot, and we'll post it. And that's how you get the views and that's how you get the virality, is because you're not only talking about what people want to talk about, but you're doing it in a way that puts the brand on the wave of the trend, and the algorithm will preference that content because it's trending, right? And we do that day in and day out for our clients, and that's how they get the outsized results they did, because they're able to move at that speed of culture.
I love that. And because you are all moving so quickly and you have given the privilege of being able to take risks and learn from them, how does your team, how do you handle failures or setbacks within your agency?
We really try to normalize failure. So that's why we have this Faceplant Fridays, for example, right? You can't have innovation unless you fail. Failure needs to be part of that. Failing gracefully, failing positively with constructiveness, that's a huge part of it, is how do you pick yourself up after you fail? You know, I think most people are used to when they fail, they get yelled at. And that sucks, but that's part of corporate America, right? Is people are used to that. And I've talked to many employees who, I've talked to many employees who 6 months in, they'll say, I'm still kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop because I had this happen and nobody yelled at me. And then I had that happen and nobody yelled at me. And is the other shoe going to drop? Or is this actually a place that upholds people and says, you know what? That's great. We're learning. Let's keep learning and let's keep doing better. And that's really what we're trying to build.
I think there's also ways that we encourage it. We've talked a little bit about celebrating it when it happens. But I think from a creative point of view, we'll do things like we'll have brainstorm sessions, but we'll also have bad idea only sessions where we say, okay, the point of this session is to put out just all the bad ideas you can possibly think of, right? The point is not to figure out the right, like put out all the stuff that you think is too crazy, too impossible, all the things that kind of too scary for you. And what happens is people lean in to finding things that won't work, right? And chances are, you know, surprise, surprise, some of them do end up working. And that's how you also create a lot of space for innovation and new ideas. But it's about celebrating failure when it happens, but also greasing the wheels for that to happen, right? Encouraging people to come up with bad ideas, to move quickly, to be messy, and then learn from it.
And while all this is happening in such a fast-paced world of advertising, how do you ensure that your team remains motivated and energized while not getting burned out? Like, how do you find that balance? How do you as founders have that balance? And how do you coach and mentor your team to have that balance, both inside and outside of the workplace?
Balance is tricky, but positivity can be consistent. In our industry, where there's always peaks and valleys, the workload, you know, goes up and it goes down, there's wins and there's losses. That's hard. And I think that's always going to be like that. So the way that we try to manage through that is just to always bring the positivity. I heard recently, I saw a TikTok from Jay Shetty, and he said, someone asked him, what's the best advice you ever got? And he said, just focus on the doors that are opening. Don't worry about the doors that are closing. Just focus on the doors that are opening. So when things go great, great. When things go bad, fine. what's the doors that are opening in front of us? And that's the best that we can do as a team, is just always be moving forward and looking at what great work can we do in the future.
I have a very good sense of why people should pick to work for Movers and Shakers instead of another agency. How about on the client front? Why should they work with you instead of somebody else? What differentiates you to a client?
Well, we said at the beginning, we're trying to move and shake the industry in two ways. One is the work, and two is the work culture. And what we find is clients come to us for number one, and then they stay with us for number one and number two, actually. So clients come because they're looking to build a culture of the relevant brand. How can their brand be seen as a cool brand with those younger audiences, the Gen Z and millennial audiences? And they recognize that most agencies have trouble doing that because they weren't built for that. And we were. And our whole team is oriented around how to be agile, how to help them create content, create campaigns, create social strategies that allow them to be a cool brand that everybody else is looking to and admiring, right? We've done that very consistently for our clients. The second thing is that joyful culture. And our clients feel that so much. And I actually get unsolicited notes from people. I just got one from a founder and CEO who became a client a month prior. And she sent me an email, said, "Evan, meeting with your team is the highlight of my week. And not just for me, but your team brings so much great energy to my team." And that fills my heart. I'll also say that's not the first time I've gotten basically that same exact note from a client. And that's incredible. And that's what we mean when we say we want to spread joy and put positivity in the world. It starts with how we show up for each other internally with our team and with our clients as well.
I think that's very related to agility as well. Because when you are working really quickly with your clients, you need to work together in true partnership, right? There's not a lot of time to get 17 layers of approvals. And so we show up and we have an approach where we are true thought partners. We're believers in standing, you know, next to each other and looking at the same thing on the wall and discussing what works, right? And you have to have a certain partnership. You have to have a certain sharing of ideas and a free-flowing sharing of ideas for that to work really well. And so I think when people work with us, they experience that from day one, where we're different from other agencies, that agency relationship where it's everything's a presentation. Like, no, we will hunker down. We will brainstorm with you. We will work with you. You will feel like we are an extension of your team, not your agency.
Thank you for that. And thank you so much for sharing valuable insights and glimpse into your agency and what agility and culture of joy means to you all. As we wrap up the conversation, I'd love to hear two pieces of advice from you to our listeners. And that is, how should they cultivate and hold on to a culture of joy, especially during time of change? And the second question is, if they have not adapted to agility yet, how can they start doing that now?
On the first question, maintaining that joyful, positive energy, especially through times of change, my advice to leaders is that it has to start at the top. We see great, positive people become bogged down by leadership that isn't always upholding them. I am not perfect. Jeffrey is not perfect. You know, we are all on our own journeys to be more consistently always positive and upholding. But that's really important to us, to hold ourselves to that standard, right? Because if we are punishing towards our VPs, who then that trickles down the mountain, right? And we've seen that happen. And so leaders really need to take that responsibility, that positive, gratitude-focused culture has to start with them.
And how do you find joy within yourself? Is that through meditation? Is it exercise? Is it reading books? Is it listening to podcasts? Like, how do you, Evan, find joy in your life?
I practice, and it's hard, you know? I've done a lot of personal development work and workshops, and I have a gratitude journal that I try to write in every day, you know? I actually practice just feeling joyful at random times of the day just to remind myself that that's a muscle that I can build. I'm always working on that.
I love that. I agree with you. I agree that it's a muscle that you have to continue to build and put effort into.
I do think it starts with the top, as Evan said. And I do think the way that leaders walk around every day, we're modeling for everyone else that we work with what that can look like. And so If we're the one who's killing every idea that scares us and who's yelling at our, you know, like that trickles down. I think for many people, you know, words mean different things. For some people, it's about optimism. And I think that's a wonderful word that people can resonate with, as well as finding that silver lining, finding that, that optimism approach. I would say for me, a big piece of how I practice joy is through gratitude. I think, gratitude is a wonderful, it's a wonderful tool for us to just see more possibility in the world. And I think there's many times where something doesn't go my way. There's many times where something does, or I see something that was put out and by someone on our team, and I think, wow, I'm so grateful for that person. I'm so grateful for this experience. I'm so grateful for this learning, whatever that is. Even as a daily practice, to find moments of gratitude creates that foundation of joy in my life.
I love that. And how about on agility? What's a piece of advice you'd like to give to our listeners on embracing agility and moving a little bit faster, taking more risks and being okay with failure? Because I think that's part of taking risks, right? Like being okay with the fallout of it.
My advice on building agility, especially if I think about our clients' organizations, and many of them are in Fortune 100 organizations that necessarily have a lot of thoughtful checks and balances and legal approvals and things. My advice is to believe that it could be a little bit better and try to figure out how you could get a little bit better, right? So I've been really inspired with some of our Fortune 100 clients who have gotten more agile. Now, they might not ever be as agile as that startup competitor of theirs who just ignores all legal regulations and goes willy-nilly. So that's not a reasonable standard to hold for yourself if you're in a bigger organization. But how can you get the key stakeholders educated and inspired to be able to move a little faster or take a little more calculated risk, right? We work very closely with our clients' legal teams to help educate them on the world of social media and how it works and why we're asking for certain things, and to get alignment and feedback from them on what are their guardrails, and really in a nuanced way so that we can understand what they could be comfortable with and what they couldn't. And those are conversations that anybody can have to help facilitate a new level of agility unlock in their own organization.
For me, a big piece that relates to agility is pre-alignment. And every time we're thinking about putting a piece of content out the door or posting on social media, there's a million decisions that need to get made in order for that to approve. And I think one thing that anyone can do in their organization is look at all those decisions that need to get made and ask yourself, which of those can I make today? What of those decisions can I make today about what type of music I'm comfortable for our company to use? What's the colorscape that I need to see in this type of image? Whatever that is, there's many decisions that we kind of wait until the last minute to make that you don't need to. So make those now, set those up as a guideline, and that just primes the pump to have fewer decisions to make later, which allows you to move with more agility.
Thank you both so much. And how can our listeners find you? Is there a TikTok of either one of you dancing somewhere that I can find and follow you on?
Best way to find us is LinkedIn for sure. You can follow us on LinkedIn, Evan Horowitz and Jeffrey Goldberg. And you can find our website for our company, movershakers.co, movershakers.co. And you can see more of our work. And if you're so inspired, reach out. We love to chat. Hi@movershakers.co.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.